then you would say that there would be an outpouring of the Spirit in our lives and in our ministries. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a fresh refilling of your Spirit in this day and in this hour. We thank you that it'll come upon us as great showers of the Spirit. And Father, we thank you for your holy written word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we give you the glory and honor for all good things in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy that endures forever and ever. I have been blessed and been honored to be here with you and with your pastors, Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, and all of you, and all of our ministry friends that's here. We appreciate you and everybody that's attended. We appreciate you and thank God for you. And I'm just glad we hadn't run everybody off yet. You know, that's a good thing. And we thank God for what's been accomplished. We appreciate all your hospitality and everything that's here, which is always so wonderful. And I did find out the sun does shine in Western New York every now and then. Because it was shining the day I come in, but it was a fool's day. Y'all fooled me. Because I think when we landed over here at the airport, wasn't it about 60-something degrees? Yes, 70 degrees in New York? But then next thing you know, here you go, trying to take us out. But, you know, we'll make it. Also, I want to make mention of some things to you just before I start. You know, the subject that I'm speaking on and been speaking on, and I'm doing it by direction of the Lord, you understand? I just didn't try to come up with something to say, but this is what I want to establish. This is not the only subject in the Bible. And so you can't over-focus on one subject all the time, because if you do, you'll get into error. We have to be balanced in the Word of God. And one reason, though, that the Lord has spoke to me on December the 31st, I've told you the story, at 12:38 a.m., he woke me up knocking, you know, and I heard his knock, actually, 8 times that he knocked and woke me up, and then he began to talk to me about the Laodicean church age. But then on the end of that, he began to give me revelation and said that the year of 2024 would be a year of great deception, where the enemy was going to do his best to deceive many in the body of Christ. And he said, I want you to go out and teach and have a seminar. And we are having a seminar on this subject about authority over demons and seducing spirits, because seducing spirits are operating on a greater level than ever before, but we don't have to fear them, remember? And we're not going to be deceived by them. But it seems to be, like Brother Hagin used to tell us, we get in the ditch on Bible truths, and it seems like we can't stay in the middle of the road on it. And so what God will do sometimes, he'll emphasize specific truths kind of seem like overly until we get in the middle of the road, back in the middle of the road, and then he expects us to continue on. So in this area of dealing with devils, demons, and evil spirits, you know, there is excessive error, has been, in the body of Christ. In the sense that some error is this, that some people believe that the devil is an imaginary figure that the Christian world made up to blame all the bad on, but he really doesn't exist. We know, according to the Bible, that's not true. The devil does exist, and he is real. And then you've got another school of thought that comes along these lines, that everything that's bad that happens in this world, everything bad that ever happened to any human being or you, that the devil actually done it to you. But really, I believe one of the greatest shocks of all that many people are going to have if you make it to heaven. You remember Brother Hagin taught us this. I'm just copying him. You're going to have three great shocks when you get to heaven. You're going to look around. You're going to see people that you never thought would make it. There they are. And then you're going to look around. You thought there's going to be people that would be there, and they're not there. But the greatest shock of all is you're going to look around and you made it. Brother Hagin said that. Remember how he used to tell us that? You're going to be shocked, you know. So you know I'm joking when I say that, you know, but we all need to laugh every now and then. But so I am kind of emphasizing this subject to the degree that I am because I've been given direction by the Lord to do so. But that don't mean I just dwell on this and hunt boogers and devils all the time. I'm not going hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting us, like Brother Hagin used to say. But then the other school of thought, somebody say, well, the devil does everything. You know, a chair falls over, it's the devil's fault. The wind blows the curtain, the devil done it. You know, you stump your toe, I bind you, devil. Shut the car door in your hand, the devil done it to you. You know. And then everything is all the devil. No, you shut that doggone car door and you didn't pick your foot up far enough, so that's why you tripped over the threshold of the door. You know, you're more in charge than you think you are. But I think the balanced school of thought is simply this. The devil does exist. And he is real, and he is conniving, he is seducing. But Jesus Christ came and gave us authority over the devil, and we do not have to be defeated by him. We don't. And the reason I'm sharing these things is to expose his tactics. Because many today, because of the era that has been in this area of devils, demons, and evil spirit, they kind of avoid the subject, and of course, I don't blame them, you know. Because people have a tendency to get demon conscious and devil kooky. And we're not going to do that. But the truth is the devil does exist and we have authority over him. So I just want to remind you there are other good biblical truths in the Bible and we need to have an inflow of these biblical truths and doctrines to a balanced degree and not get over focused on each particular truth. And then we're all going to walk down the middle of the road together. Amen. We're going to come out on top. Well, I'm glad you're in agreement with that. Amen. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to move right along tonight. I'm not going to read every scripture. I don't believe. Don't hold me to it. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, because remember the Lord said this would be a year that the 2024 will be a year of great deception in the church world. Now, it doesn't have to be. We told you that. We told you about how not to be deceived. Remember? Remember that? How not to be deceived. Yes, you know how to be deceived, but you know how not to be deceived, right? He said this, he said, but follow the word of God, the spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. Three things that will guarantee, this is from Jesus. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and told him this. And he said, if you will do these three things, follow the word of God, the spirit of God in me. How do you follow the word of God? You read it, you study it, you meditate on it. The spirit of God, how do you follow him? One of the ways you can become more sensitive to the spirit of God inside of you is by praying in other tongues, what we call praying in the spirit, and it makes your spirit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and he'll lead you and guide you, not just with a booming voice or anything like that, but just an inward witness or a check. If you get a check about something, then just follow that. If you get an inward witness about something, that everything's all right, follow that. And then he said the third thing was follow me. How do you follow me or follow Jesus, not me? Well, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord, but make sure that everybody's following the Lord as you're following. Then you'll be all right. But he said, follow me. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, following him. How do we follow him? We build a relationship with him in prayer and we become intimate with him and we know him and he leads us and guides us and directs us. And he guaranteed Brother Hagin that if you would do those things, follow the word of God, follow the spirit of God and follow Jesus Christ, you will not be deceived. Amen. So we're going to do that. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're talking about in exposing seducing spirits. We're talking about how they operate and what they do. But, and we're not covering the whole subject. I mean, when we do the seminar down in April, and April the 30th at Dr. Chip's church there in Dayton, Tennessee, which is about, I guess, 30 miles north of Chattanooga, south of Knoxville, an hour and a half there, and north of Atlanta, what, 3 hours, four? 2.5 hours, I mean, so you can hitchhike there. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, from here. So that's where it's going to be. If you were interested in that, we don't know where we're going to put you at yet. But anyway, you can go to rgm.me and you can find out anything. And also, any of our products, if you're interested in, Pastor Tim's already mentioned them, they're digital downloads. If you just go to rgm.me and right on there, you can digitally download almost anything that you can desire from our site. A lot of stuff on there you can go read if you want to know what Brother Hagin thinks about certain things and questions today that are questionable in the body of Christ. We've got Dad Hagin's voice answering questions that people ask today because we just want to solve the problem. Just go over and click a button and you can read the question and just hit this button and it will play you the audio of what Brother Hagin said about that particular subject or idea. It's very good. Be very good. Don't make me go myself and look at it. I mean, because I do. But you can go to rgm.me and you can find anything you want there. But here it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." We've pointed this out already, but we're going to say it again. This is not Paul's theology. This is not Paul's doctrine, the Apostle Paul's doctrine. It's not the Apostle Paul's idea. So it's not something he's coming up with. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. He said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly." In other words, pay attention to what he's saying. He said that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. You can't depart from the faith if you're not in the faith. We pointed out that what he's talking about is born again Christians. He's not talking about people that do not know the Lord. He's talking about people who know the Lord. He is writing this to the church. He's writing it to you and I. He said, "Some shall depart from the faith." Aren't you glad he didn't say everybody's going to depart from the faith? Because I'm not going to depart from the faith. You're not going to depart from the faith. We're going to go to Jesus and we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to follow the Word of God and we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. But he said, "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed," which means paying attention to, listening to, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right, let's look at another scripture that I think is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read a verse or two that we didn't read in the other sessions. But this is what the Spirit of God is saying through Apostle Paul here too in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. Let's look at that, because we've read later in the chapter in the other services, but let's look at this. Paul said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he cometh, he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him." But notice here that he said that he feared unless that people were beguiled, and beguiled means totally seduced. If you look up the word beguiled, it means totally seduced, totally deceived. That's what that means, that Satan was beguiled Eve here. And then he talks about another gospel. He talks about another Jesus. He talks about another spirit. Now, you and I know there's only one Jesus and there's only one gospel and there's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But he's talking about another. So what he's talking about here is counterfeit things that look like God, but they are not. Counterfeit things that look like God, have the appearance of God, and they're there to fool you and draw you in. And that's what he said, that as Satan beguiled Eve, which means he totally deceived her, he totally seduced her. You understand? Of course, and Adam followed along. So they were deceived themselves here. And so there's some things that I was talking about last night that I want to get back into, and because it really needs covering in more detail. In fact, it's going to take about 7 or 8 hours for me to finish this. So y'all just lock the doors, boys, and hang on. I'm joking. I like Brother Hagin. You know, I was speaking, you know, honored to be able to speak at his camp meetings over the years. And he had invited me to speak at one of his camp meetings one time. And of course, since from 1987 up to the time he went to be with the Lord in 2003, I spoke in some of his meetings somewhere every year. But this is, he taught me a lesson in a very kind, gentle way. But I noticed that people that didn't pick up on his lessons, you didn't see them around anymore. We was in the speaker's room in the back of the big convention center. I guess that thing would seat 14,000. And I was getting mic'd up, and I think Mr. Luzecki, you remember them, was over the sound back then, and he was back there trying to get me all hooked up and gussied up in this microphone, and Dad Hagee was sitting there on the sofa. And he kind of chuckled, and of course, I looked, wondering, he chuckled. He said, "Brother Randy?" I said, "Yes, Dad." He said, "You need another revelation." I said, "Yes, Dad." I think, man, I'm fixing to get me a revelation. The sound man quit what he was doing, and buddy, we focused our attention. "Yes, Dad." He said, "You need the revelation that the heart cannot receive no more than the seat can endure." What was he doing? He was gently correcting me. It's his meeting, not mine. I didn't know any better. I'm just a young kid in the spirit. I thought you told everything you knew at one time. And what I'd do is just, I didn't know a whole lot, so I'd just tell it three times. Do you know what I mean? So I realized what he was saying. And he chuckled. And so you had to, you know what I call, read between the lines to pick it up. And I realized, and I said, "Oh, Lord." I said, "Yes." I just said, "Yes, Dad, you're right. You're right. Dad, I got that revelation now." And I knew. And right then, the Lord helped me. He said, "Don't try," because he wanted me to share my testimony, you know what I mean, about what the Lord had done, because it's wonderful. And I still share it from time to time. But what the Lord showed me right then, he said, "Just pray and find out what parts of your testimony that I put on your heart to share, and share those parts only, and don't try to share the whole story." Because I was trying to tell it from start to finish, and it's pretty long. You know what I mean? I had a record book about that thick, you know? So I'm not going to try to kill everybody tonight, just half of you, you know? But I was talking about how the enemy operates and how seducing spirits take advantage of a person. Remember, we discovered this, and we've already said it, but let me say it again. The number one way that a seducing spirit seduces a person or an organization or the world or the church or anybody is through someone that's already else that's seduced by them. Usually it's a very popular individual that's well-known, that's what you call, has a big voice, a big audience, has the ability to get the word out. That's who the enemy's after when he's trying to affect the entire body of Christ, or infect the body of Christ with a false doctrine. And so we know this, though, that that's the way they operate. But remember this, Satan cannot make you do anything against your will. You've got to be willing to be seduced. You've got to be willing, allow Satan willingly to come into your life. He cannot make you do anything against your will. Said, "Brother Randy, where is that at in the Bible?" Well, I can give you a good principle. If Satan could have made Eve eat the apple against her will, do you think that he would try to seduce her? He'd have walked in that garden, grabbed her by the hair of the head like the old caveman, slung her down on the ground, pulled the apple off the tree and shoved it down her mouth and said, "Eat it and shut up, woman." But he didn't do that, did he? Why didn't he do it? Because he could not. He could not. He could not. So the devil tries to work on people's will to get them willing to yield to him, and he'll work on somebody's will for years and years and years and years and years and years if necessary. See what I mean? He's got plenty of time, you know. He'll work on their will. He'll work through their upbringing, their environment, their emotions, their solical realm, and things like that. But remember, you know three things how the devil's not going to seduce you, right? Three ways that he's not going to seduce you. So he wants to do it through a person that's popular. But another thing is that I've discovered that many times the way that devil seduces people, what I just told you, is trying to get them willing, is sometimes it's easier than you would think. And I'm going to talk about some of these things tonight, about how that he will get a hold to people, even ministers and Christians. And that, of course, that wasn't my idea. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in 1952 in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and he told him, he said, "I'm gonna teach you about devils, demons, and evil spirits, and how they will even get a hold of Christians if Christians will allow them to. But remember, you and I are not going to let the devil have a place in us. Isn't that right? We're going to give no place to him whatsoever. And remember this, this is what the Lord showed me. And I didn't think this up naturally, and I'm not saying it, you know, it's not in a school book somewhere or whatever. But I was fasting and praying. I was seeking God. And this is what the Lord told me. And this has been, I don't know, 30 years ago. But this is what he said. Inherent in every human being is that they long to belong and desire to be wanted and needed. And if a person does not allow the Lord Jesus Christ to fill this within them, they will look for it in other ways. Satan knows this and uses it to fulfill this need in a perverted way. The word inherent means existing in something as a permanent, essential, absolutely necessary characteristic or attribute. In other words, it's built inside of us. That's the way we were created. We long to belong and we desire to be wanted and needed. We desire recognition. You know what I mean? We want to fit in. We want to have a purpose in life. And that's the truth. We all should do that. There's nothing wrong as long as it's used in the right way. But the devil knows that's inside of every human being. It works in the solical realm. It works in the mental realm. But the devil knows that about every human being. And what he tries to do, he tries to pervert that in us in order to get us to accept something that is not of God. But you and I are smarter than a goldfish. I got a new series that's coming out. It's got a goldfish in a bowl floating around because my guy just sent me the graphic for today. And the title of the message is, Are You Smarter Than a Goldfish? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're not. You can only focus on something for 8.25 seconds because of all your media world that you live in. But a goldfish can focus on something for 9 seconds. You are not smarter than a goldfish. And that's the reason, don't get me preaching another message, that many Christians never receive from God is because they can't focus on the word long enough to produce faith inside of them to reach out and take what God has already given. So I'm going to give you the ability to be smarter than a goldfish. It'll be coming out very soon. In fact, it might be up on my website now. I'm not sure about that. That's the office handles that. Are you smarter than a goldfish? That's a good message. Pastor Edwin, you can preach that around the world. And I didn't come. The Lord showed me all this stuff. Now, of course, I went and found the scientific, you know, information when he started talking to me. He told me that the reason that people were not receiving from him is that they had the inability to focus on his word enough to produce faith in their life. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes meditating on the word of God. So inherent in every human being, let's get back on, that was just a side journey, get back on the main thought, is the desire to feel wanted and needed. They long to belong. They want to be relevant. They want to fit in somewhere. And that's how teenagers get off, you know? Yeah. All of us remember, we wanted to fit in with the crowd, you know? Pastor Edmund, I mean, if you just knew where he come from. I mean, if it wasn't for Miss Angela right here, he probably wouldn't even be alive today. I mean, it's amazing because he hung just like me. I was a good fella, you know, coming up. You know, Pastor Edwin, believe it or not, at one time, used to be a good fella. Pastor Tim over there saying, but I got his number too. I know all about him. He was a doggone hippie. You know what I mean? I come out of the hippie generation. He come out of the hippie generation. We come out. I survived the hippies. I did. I survived it all. It was a miracle. I remember one time we went to the moon in a 1974 VW Beetle Volkswagen. We did. We took some blotter acid and we were sitting on the doggone moon. Old Terry McLean, he was going to walk on the moon. We told him, don't get out, you can't breathe. Well, if it was true that we was on the moon, none of us have been able to breathe. But we thought being in the Volkswagen made us safe. So, what the enemy tries to do, though, is he tries to take things and ways that God built us correctly and pervert it. That's why folks think they're cats. They think they're dogs. Women think they're men. Men think they're women. Everybody's shouting now. You know, I mean, I was ministering up there in the Toronto area with Pastor Craig Field. And I think at one time, I think they had 157 different genders up there that you could put on your birth certificate. Listen, I have enough trouble with one. I don't need another one. I don't need another gender. But do you see how perverted that is? To think you're a cat, you're a dog, you're a giraffe, you're an ox or horse or mule or whatever. All of that is perversion. Satan is doing his best to try to pervert the human race, even down to the church level. He tries to pervert the glory of God, and he tries to counterfeit the things of God that so we'll accept and embrace something that God is not, but he makes it look real just like it is. And so here, he told us to beware, and he was concerned that the people were being beguiled like he was, and the people were listening to another Jesus and so on and so forth. But then he goes on verse 13 of that same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." In other words, he doesn't come with pitchforks and fangs, spitting fire and all that stuff. He comes as an angel of light. And I told that story last night about seeing that demon. You know, when I was caught up in seeing about that a presidential election, I seen this demon, the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen, but it turned out to be a seducing spirit that possessed this other individual in this vision. Verse 15 says, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, get ready to get under the chairs. Here we go. Here we go. Okay? Are you ready for this? This is one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ today. I want to talk about this, and it applies to all Christians, but I want to talk to ministers, but it applies to Christians too. Ministers have a great fault today of overlooking false doctrine to be accepted, appreciated, and embraced by someone of great notoriety. I'm getting excited here now. Y'all were shouting a while ago. Where's my music man? I mean, he knows how to get y'all shouting. Ministers and Christians are all prone to this, and many will overlook false doctrine to be improved and validated by someone who is very well known and popular, because this gives them a sense of belonging and feels the desire to be wanted and needed. They desire recognition so desperately, they are willing to sell out and compromise the Bible and even their spiritual morals and values to obtain it. Nobody's dancing. I know people, ministers, who work in positions and they're associated with organizations where they know that the organization that they work for and they are associated with and are a member of is not being led by the Spirit, and it is building the leader's kingdom and not the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do this because it gives them a sense of prestige, authority, or power over others, position and recognition from others. They like being looked up to and envied. They sell their soul to the company's sore, so to speak. They refuse to challenge error and false doctrine because their position is more important to them than the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad you're excited. And listen, can we just clarify this? I'm not attacking any human being. But I am telling you, the devil is subtle. And if you'll yield to him a little bit right here, by the time you get over there, you're going to be totally deceived. Nobody's running. Some also do this because they see it as a way to climb the spiritual ladder. In other words, don't confront false doctrine. They allow false doctrine. They put up with it. We can't say anything because we might get kicked off the spiritual ladder. Some also do this because they see it as a way to climb the spiritual ladder to the top. They seek recognition from popular people so it will catapult them to the top quicker. This works too. It works. And it is the way of the world and flesh. These people will compromise doctrine and sound biblical scriptures to obtain this status. It will look like God is raising them up, but it's only the ways of the flesh, and Satan is working through it to eventually deceive them. They will always come tumbling down in the end. Now, this is what I put in big, bold print as God was giving me this. The Lord gave me this. I didn't think this up. The way up in God is always down. Self-promotion and self-proclamation stinks in the nostrils of God. It does. And the enemy will offer you a path. And if you'll take that path, he'll make it easier, he'll make it quick, and the next thing you know, you'll be at the top, but in the end, he'll pull the rug out from under you, so to speak, and you're gonna come tumbling down. The way up in God is always down. So if you wanna embrace the church and be a help in the church as a good church member, don't jockey for position unless you can ride the horse. In other words, you can get mad, you can get upset, you can get mad with the pastor, you get mad with the social, you get mad with others because why don't they let me do this? Why don't they let me do that? Why don't they let me do this? Listen, if you need to be doing something, nobody can stop you from doing it if the Lord wants you to do it. Can't. But when you try to force your way that you're not ready for, because many people are not ready. See, even though you're called to something, don't mean you're ready for something. Even though I'm called to something, don't mean I'm ready for something. I saw things back in 1984, April the 5th, 1984. I saw things then that I would be doing that I have not yet fulfilled. And you know why? Because I'm not ready for them yet. I'm not ready, but I'm going to get ready quick.
Yes.
He might help me. He looks serious about it. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth about it. I'm not ready for it. And the Lord's not going to put me out there until I am ready for it. Because if I do, then it's going to cause me to fall. The devil's going to wind up exposing me and making fun of me to the whole world because that's what he wants to do. Can I tell on myself? Everybody likes me to tell on me. Dr. Luketic here, he likes me to tell on me, you know. Well, Brother Hagin, you know, would call on me to speak at camp meeting. The first time was 1987. Well, you know, it started becoming, you know, a regular thing. And I would speak at his big camp meetings, you know. And so I kind of started getting the, what do they call it in the country? The big head, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean? We get over this way and preach to them a while. But anyway, I started thinking, you know, I might be somebody. Now the devil was helping me think that. But I wasn't wise enough to realize it to start with. But I was praying one day and I was seeking the Lord. And he said, this year, when you go to camp meeting, he said, don't go up there and sit in the front seat they got for you. And there's nothing wrong with sitting in the front seat. Hang on. You got to qualify to sit there. He said, you go to the back of that auditorium and you set yourself down and shut your mouth. I said, I ain't going to do it. I'm one of the speakers at this camp meeting, and I ain't going back there. He said, yes, you are. I said, no, I ain't. I said, these people will think I'm crazy if I go back there and sit back there. in the back of the, in the back, in the doggone crow's nest. I mean, if you're standing on a platform, you got to have a pair of binoculars to see who it is sitting back there. A speaker, invited speaker at camp meeting, sitting in the back. I said, Lord, I mean, I wrestle with that. Lord, he said, I need to work this mess out of you before the devil kills you, son. Got to get this pride out of you before the devil kills you. Says Moses was the meekest among men. Humble. Humility is the way up in God. So, I mean, it hurt my flesh. I ain't gonna lie to you. I wanted to slap everybody that walked by. Get out of my couch. What are you doing? You ain't going up there and sitting in front. I gotta sit back here. You gonna sit back here too. These high-powered preachers, you know, would come by. You know what I mean by high-powered. I'm not blowing, but these well-known preachers, they'd be coming in through the back, come down, and they'd see, Brother Randy, what in the world are you doing back here? And Patty'd be sitting there faithfully beside me, praying for her husband. Oh, God. And Randall was a little old bitty fella then, you know. He's just a baby in their lap, you know. He's sitting there in the thing, and we're sitting back there in the crow's nest. And this went on for several years. And Brother Hagin would always, you know, still somehow get me up there on the platform. But I remember sitting back there one day, about 3 or 4 years later, sitting back there. As I began to sit there, all of a sudden the Spirit of God just came on me. And I broke down weeping. I'm telling you, weeping. As his Spirit began to move on me. And I decided, because I didn't come to the end of myself. It's called crucifying the flesh. Yes. I'd come to the end of myself. And I decided, I mean, you may not understand this, but I never wanted to be seen in the public eye again. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want that anymore. Yeah. If you allow me to use it, I was dead to it. And that has hindered me a little bit today. Because sometimes God wants to use me. He talked to me about it today, this afternoon. Because I don't want to be seen. And I've seen people abuse things in the gifts of the Spirit. But that can hinder you. You can go too far the other way. But anyway, I was sitting back there. And the Lord said, he said, you've done what I told you to do. He said, you've passed the test. He said, now I'm going to move you on up. Yeah. And he did. Yeah. I said, he did. He did. The Lord moved me on up. But when he moved me there, I'd already died to something down here. You know what I mean? I'd already crucified the flesh down here. The way up in God is always down. And I'll tell you, when you are going through the crucifixion process, a lot of people want to sit on the throne, but they don't want to go to the cross. Well, we don't preach the cross no more. Brother Hagin taught us this. Yes, we need to go to the cross, but we want to stop there. Remember, that's what he preached. We want to move on from there. But you've got to go by way of the cross and crucify this area. Because that want and need of recognition, that longing to belong, that desire to have the international ministry, the worldwide ministry, to be seen of everybody, to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as God is the one behind it. But when man tries to raise himself up, then the enemy will set him up. And he will expose that individual. He'll cause something bad to go wrong in their life. And then he will be the laughing stock of the world and the body of Christ. And I'm not belittling anybody. I'm just telling you how this worked. Go ask Mr. Baker. And I'm not putting him down. Thank God he got restored. Thank God. You know, when you get too big, ask Mr. Swaggart. I'm not putting him down. But he was in a place that he could not stay because his character wouldn't develop to that point. So that's the reason. It's not that God don't want to raise people up, but he knows what the devil's going to try to do to you when you get there on that level if you're not qualifying for it, if you don't have the character for it. Because there's, if you have a flaw in your character, the higher you get up in God, the less character flaws you can have. Because the enemy will find a chink in the armor, so to speak, and he'll try to bring you down. Now, God wants to raise people up. There's nothing wrong for believing big. There's nothing wrong for believing for the miraculous and all, and for the ministry's growth. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, but it needs to come from the proper perspective. So if you want promotion, the way promotion comes is from God. Don't put your eyes on man, put your eyes on God. And you stand for the truth in the name of Jesus. I remember this also, that I was, you know, associated with an organization. And this organization just kind of turned and went in a different direction than the direction that the Lord had been leading us in. In other words, there was a heavenly vision that came from Jesus, but then all of a sudden the organization kind of turned and went in another direction. And it seemed like I was standing here, just a few of us standing there by ourselves, you know, wondering what in the world is going on. And so I wondered, Lord, what am I going to do? What's going to happen about this? In fact, he had me relocate my home. I mean, not because I wanted to. We prayed it out. And God had me relocate my home to move back to Oklahoma to be involved in one of the greatest moves of God. And that move has been hindered, but it won't be stopped. And I remember us praying this out. It was Patty, my wife, and Randall, my son. I think at that time he was about, 13 years old. We was in our family room, what they call great room there in Upatoy, Georgia. Upatoy. We did have a post office. And we was there and we were praying about, you know, the Lord's will, because the Lord had spoke to us supernaturally. Sister Rachel Tiefertiller had ministered to us right prior to this. Sister Billy Brim had been involved in it. And the Lord had specifically led me to be at a place so this ministry would take place. So we got home from all this from out west, and we got home back to Georgia where we lived, and we decided to pray about it. And then we was all in our family room praying, Randall, Patty, and myself. And suddenly Randall, my son, you know, he kind of fell back over that ottoman. I call it a footstool. I don't know who Otto is. You know, I call it a footstool, you know, that was there, that my wife had all that frilly stuff, you know. I don't know if y'all's wife men are like mine. I mean, they got so many doggone pillows on the bed, you have to throw them off to even go to bed. I know Miss Angela, I know she's got, I mean, over there at the doggone hotel, I just took pillows and slung them. My God, what? They got a throw pillow, that's what it's called, a throw pillow. I throw the doggone thing, my God. What? I mean, you can't even get in the bed for all the pillows that's on this thing. But anyway, here we are praying, and all of a sudden, Randall, my son, just fell back across this ottoman. And just praying in the Holy Ghost and weeping. My son, 13 years old, praying in the Spirit. Because, you know, he was going to be uprooted. It was going to change his life. He was leaving everything we'd known and all this kind of stuff. And then Patty come over after a while, because we had never seen him. She had never seen him in that way. And mamas are concerned about their babies. You know what I mean? It don't matter if you're 6'4" and 260 pounds. You're still mama's baby, you know. And so Patty kind of slid up beside me in our praying. She said, "What's wrong with him?" I said, "I don't know. The Holy Ghost is on him." She said, "You better go find out." If mama says go find out, you better go find out, or you're not going to live through the prayer session. I'm just here to tell you right now. God or no God, you better find out what's wrong with that baby. So I just walked over to where he's lying there, laying on top of that stool. And I said, "Son," I said, "What is it, son? What is it, son?" He said, "God is in my belly, Daddy." God is in my belly, Daddy. He said, we got to move, Daddy. We got to move, Daddy. I said, okay, son. We started weeping and crying, and we moved. Our son prophesied our future. But we were moving to get into the plan of God, into the will of God. But when we got there, things seemed to be all right for a couple of years or so, and then things turned. And when they turned and made a different direction, because the reason the turn took place, and I haven't digressed from a subject, but it seems like it, is because those in leadership of the organization longed to belong and desire to feel wanted and needed in the cultural trends of the world and Christianity. And Christianity made a big change during that time. Things changed, dress code changed. You could come, go any way you want to. The unbiblical grace came and hit. And so everybody was trying to get on the bandwagon, even this organization. And I'm not belittling, I'm not attacking any human being. I'm telling you how seducing spirits work. Seducing spirits work. And when they long to belong or long to fit in, desire to feel wanted and needed because they felt like an outcast. Pastor Angela was talking about today when she was a little girl, or I say a teenage girl, going to school because she'd come up in a holiness church that the kids used to laugh and make fun of her. Well, I know exactly what she's talking about. I come up in a holiness church. My daddy was a holiness Assembly of God preacher. And all the kids, she said, they called her Holy Rollers. They called me Holy Roller too. I mean, to the point that one day I broke. I snapped. You ever heard of that snapping thing, you know? I snapped. And these people had been pushing me and picking on me at one of the things, and the star football quarterback had been messing with me. He didn't know I could grease him on the floor, but Daddy had taught me he was going to beat the devil out of me. But I got tired of Daddy or nobody. I decided that day I'm going to whoop Daddy and the football player too, because I ain't putting up with them pushing me around no more. So this football player came up to me and was going to push me around and back me up against the wall. I seen, before I could think of it, there was a 33-gallon galvanized trash can. Now, if you don't never know about them, it was sitting there and had two handles on it. I grabbed that thing with the Hulk anointing, my God. And I took that thing and I, bang, I hit him over the head, and it hit him so hard it knocked him out. And we was beside some stairs and he rolled all the way down the stairs to the first floor. I know how to get rid of the devil. Hit him in the head with a doggone trash can. Because I did that. But I was talking about it. I was being picked on. You know, a Pentecostal kid. I mean, because back then, I mean, going to church, like we went to church, it wasn't popular at all. I mean, you're just considered to be crazy and out of your mind. And they did do a lot of crazy things. You know. They could jerk. They twerked before twerking was popular. I'm just here to tell you. Pastor Edwin was showing us a little twerking office today. He was so, he knows about the twerk, you know. And but listen, there is a true move of God along those lines. There's a true move of God along those lines. But see, when you feel like an outcast, because you're not flowing the way the rest of the body is, the body of Christ, you don't fit in with what everybody else is doing. You start looking for cultural trends that they are moving into, whether it's God or not, and then you bring them in and you start yielding to them, and then the devil works through them to get you out of the will of God. So now, instead of following the Word of God, instead of following the Spirit of God, instead of following Jesus, you are following cultural trends of society, and the devil has got you exactly where he wants you. So we don't want to do that. So it's good to have desire. It's good to be motivated. It's good to be an achiever. But let Jesus fulfill all the desires in you. Let him raise you up. Don't fight and kick and bawl and scream and try to push somebody else out of the way and run somebody else down so you can get there or grab somebody else by the coattail because you want to climb the ladder behind them. Don't do that. Let God raise you up.
Because if you raise yourself up by doing all those natural things, then eventually you're going to come tumbling down. All right, let's talk about counterfeit. Satan will offer a person that's hungry for God a counterfeit God in order to get them off track. But if you know the Holy Ghost, you won't be led off track. Jesus was offered a shortcut to what he was called to do in the wilderness. He knew he was have to rule the kingdoms of this world. He'd be the king of the world one day. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Remember? He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. What was that? A shortcut. Shortcut. He would have given it to him, but it would have been failure for Jesus. So Jesus knew better than to take the shortcut that Satan offered because he recognized it as a counterfeit. It wasn't real. When he would get there, it wouldn't be what God ordained. It would be what the devil gave him because the devil is in charge of this world right now. So Jesus knew that, and he didn't accept the counterfeit that the devil offered. Now let me talk about this, and this will curl your hair. But do you remember this? And I say this, again, not to attack any individual, but to let you know how these spirits work. He'll offer you a counterfeit. Do you remember a meeting that took place in a city called Lakeland, Florida? Oh, yeah. Well, it's Pastor Edwin and Pastor Angela's fault because they're not far from there. They're a little ways, but they're in High Springs, you know, Florida. But do you remember that meeting that took place? How many thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, perhaps million, perhaps more than a million, but a lot of people were deceived by what was going on there. It attracted crowds so loud, or so large, because they were loud, exposed, so large that they could no longer hold it in any building in Lakeland, Florida. So they went out to the Lakeland, Florida airport. I've actually flown into there. I've been there. The Lakeland, Florida airport and AOPA, Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, have buildings set up there because every year, in fact, it's about to take place if it hadn't already. They have a fly-in there. And pilots come from all over the place, and they have all kind of vendors and products and all that. Brother Andy here, he knows about it. All that. So anyway, they got permission. They worked it out with the airport and you paid them some fees or something to go out there and have the meetings. You remember that? They went out there and I mean, they would pack them out. People would come from all the world. And all of a sudden, they had this guy that's up there and he is ministering. Remember, I'm not attacking the individual. I'm talking about seducing spirits. The moment I saw him, I thought, first of all, is this guy even human or not, you know? He was all tattooed up and all kind of stuff and looked disheveled and out of place. And just and immediately in my spirit, I said, this stuff is not right. But let me tie this in. I was speaking at a large meeting. And ministers that I well respected were sitting there. And we were sitting in the speaker's room because I was going to be one of the speakers coming up soon with these internationally known ministers. And the subject came up about the meeting in Lakeland. And they were all just having a discussion. And so what do when all your elders are sitting there discussing things? You listen and keep your mouth shut. And so I just sat there and listened, you know, for maybe 20 or 30 minutes. And I didn't say a word to anybody or nothing. And then one of these, my elders, turned to me, I knew very well. And he said, Brother Randy, he said, you haven't said anything. Because most of them were talking favorably of it, you know. But he said, what do you think about that meeting that's down there? I said, well, since you asked me, I said, that man's of the devil and he's following seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I said, if you get involved in it, they're going to get on you too. Woo! They get up and scatter like a covey of quail. people you know. They did. And they got mad at me. I'd say not mad. They always questioned my mentality, but they really knew I went off the deep end then. But now, where did I get that at? Now, let me say this. I'm not bragging by saying that. But I learned to follow God because my life depended on it when I was in prison. If I didn't know the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be standing here today. Because people would be getting killed on my left and my right just almost every day. And I had to learn to listen to the inward witness. So I trained myself. And I just knew when the first time I saw that guy, the first time, this is not right. Is that what y'all picked up? I knew it wasn't right. Said, well, what about all the hoopla and all the stuff that was going into people falling out all over the place? And there is, and the prophet from Kansas come out, yay, hey, nay, yay, yay. That guy wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he come walking down the road with a red hat on, wearing a purple cape, flip-flops, and doing flips. My God. Don't be deceived by these doggone people. Just because somebody calls themselves a prophet or an apostle don't mean they're an apostle and prophet of God. There are counterfeits. Pastor Angela told me, she said, Brother Andrew, you get too bold. She prayed for boldness. I was meek and mild-mannered. But Brother Hagin sat down, put his right arm around me and hugged me up. And told me what was going to happen in my future. Talked to me for over an hour about what would happen and what would take place. And I'd be right in the middle of it. So it's not my plan. I didn't want to do any of this. I don't want to tell you all these things. But if I don't tell you, I'm in trouble. I don't like having to expose these things, but that's the truth about it. But the reason I pointed it out is how many people were deceived during that situation. And it proved right in the end because the gentleman come tumbling down. You remember that? And again, I'm not attacking an individual, but I am coming against false doctrine. But people wanted a move of God. They were hungry for God. And it's good to have a hunger for God. But you should never embrace the false. If you ever, and this is what the Lord told me, if you ever embrace the false, you can never have the real. You never will. When I go into a meeting, I go into a service, I'm always asking this question. Where's God in all this? It don't matter if lightning bolts are striking and the chairs are blistering apart and the carpet's set on fire. I still ask the question, where's God in all of this? Because that's what I want to know and what he's doing. And I'm not against anything, don't get me wrong. But I always want to make sure God's involved in it before I get involved in it. So I'm kind of slow sometimes because I want to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. So don't get discouraged. You be encouraged because we are not going to be deceived. And there's story after story I could tell, but if I do, I don't want your hair to fall out. Not nobody. And of course, some of these things I'm not going to share here in a church like this because I'm going to do it in a meeting that we're doing in our seminar. I'm going to be doing it. In fact, I'm not sure yet that we're going to let the recordings go from that meeting just because of the things that I believe the Lord wants me to say and do. Not to attack people, but to expose what the devil's trying to do against the body of Christ. The Lord loves his church, and he loves you, and he loves me. And it's time that we quit following these deceiving spirits, doctrines of devils, seducing spirits. It's time that we quit this and that we get into the true move of God. And if we do, we're going to see his glory manifest in a big way. In the very near future, some of you may have experienced it tonight, the Spirit of God, and there's a lot more I can say, but I'm just going to unhook from here. But the Spirit of God is going to deal with you, because he told me this. He's going to deal with you. And just like he woke me up on, actually I went to bed December 30th, remember, woke up at 12:38, December the 31st, with the Lord knocking. At first, remember, I thought somebody was knocking on my door of my house, but it was actually the Lord. I finally figured it out, you know, after, you know, a minute or so. And I said, "Lord, is that you?" And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," he said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." The Lord is going to knock on the door of your life. And he's going to ask you to allow him to come in. And if you'll open the door to him, you're going to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like you've never had before. In fact, I'll tell you how it works. And if you've never been in this place of really being close to the Lord, and I'm not saying you haven't, but if you've never been there, once you get there, this is what you're going to say. You remember these words: "My Lord, I should have been here all the time." It's going to be the most joyful place you've ever been in. A time of peace and tranquility. Sickness and diseases would just fall away from you. Not because you done claimed it and named it and sweated over it and said it 10,000 times. And I'm not saying that that's not part of it. Don't get me wrong. But when you get in the presence of God, things will just fall away. They will, because nothing can stand in the presence of Jesus. No sickness, no disease, no devil. It don't matter what it is. So the greatest quest that you should have in life, that I should have in life, is to have Jesus the center of my life and know him just as good as I know anybody else on this planet. And I'll promise you this, if you'll seek him and go after him with everything within you, to start with, I'll tell you, it's going to be a chore. I'm not going to lie to you. Your flesh is going to fight you. Your mind's going to fight you. There's going to be things that you got to do. And I'm not saying that the Lord don't want you to shut down your life. You can still live life, you know. But start giving yourself more to the Lord. But the more that you'll do this, the Lord will manifest himself to you in some way. And you're going to know that he's alive and he's real. And it's not going to be just faith anymore. I mean, faith's involved in it. But he's going to make you, he's going to manifest. You know what the word manifest means? Make known. Yeah. And it can mean, even has a meaning of actually even appearing to you. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to. But if you'll put yourself in a position and show him that you love him more than anything else on this planet, he's going to love you. He's going to sup with you. He's going to reveal himself to you. And he's going to manifest himself to you. And you're not going to want to do anything else but just be in love with Jesus and walk with him. He'll begin to talk to you. He'll show you what to do. And nothing in this life will make you happy, joyful, spiritually, except Jesus. Amen. I've had Jesus do this to me before, you know. And you'll experience the same thing when you get real close to him. And I'm not saying you're not, but he'll do it. You'll be sitting talking to friends and all, good, wonderful friends. And the Lord will say, the Holy Ghost will say inside of him, he'll say, "You love them more than you do me." He'll do it to you. He's a jealous God. He said, "I want you to come talk to me. Tell them you got to go, and I want to talk to you." And now in my spirit, you know, I'm saying, "Oh, Lord, I want to, but Lord, he said, "Well, you love them more than you love me." "No, Lord, I love them, Lord, but no, I don't put anything ahead of you." He said, "Well, dismiss yourself." And I've done it, you know, as gracefully as possible. And it don't happen all the time, don't get me wrong. But when it happens and he wants to talk to you, you got to make yourself available to him. But anyway, every time that I have, by the time that I could get to a place to get to talk to him, the power of God would be on me so strong I couldn't even stand. I'd be down on my knees and I'd be weeping and crying. Then sometimes he would come to me in the nighttime. Remember, he came to Solomon in the nighttime and talked to me in the nighttime. He'll do it. You know, the Bible says that Jesus arose a great while before day. Now, the question would be, what time was that? If he arose a great while before day, I'll give you my opinion. This is not doctrine. I don't have chapter and verse for it, but this is my experience with the Lord. A great while before day, I believe, come on, go to heaven. We'll find out when we get there. It's 3 a.m. 3 a.m. I've had more experiences with the Lord about 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, sure. Somebody said, well, he'll never have experience with me. And your day may be different, but he arose a great while before day. And I'll tell you something else about 3 o'clock. Some of your greatest temptations that you'll ever go through will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they'll start. And I ain't got time to preach that. I'll get into that maybe in April. But I mean, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when the enemy seems like he has an upper hand sometimes, because people are all worn out during the day and doing everything and hadn't been seeking God like they should. And the next thing you know, whew, here he comes. But how are we going to keep from being seduced and deceived? There's three things, remember? We're going to follow what? The Word of God. The second thing, the Spirit of God. And then what we're going to do? We're going to follow Jesus. And that's a guarantee that you are not going to be deceived. I said, you're not going to be deceived. Say this with me. Say, I am not going to be deceived. Because I choose to follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is leading me, he's guiding me, and he's directing me, and I follow him. And that's the truth. If you say that every now and then, it'll just kind of get it inside of you, you know? And just practice it in your life. You're not going to be deceived. So y'all ain't scared, are you?
No.
Pastor Sonny Jones, he's trying to teach me to golf and all that stuff. Y'all know Pastor Sonny. Pastor Sonny, and I'd be out there on the green, you know, with that stick. Brother Hagin called it goofball. You know, Brother Goofball. I'd be out there on my stick, my putter, you know, and I'd hit it, and it'd come up short, you know, about 4, 5, or 6, 7 inches, you know. And Pastor Sonny Jones said, Randy, he said, if you're scared, say you're scared. In other words, put it where it goes in the hole, you know what I mean? So what I started doing, when I'd get out there with him, and I didn't know, it was some REMI events, you know. I'd get out there, and I didn't know. I'd just done it more for fellowship than the last, so we just rolled and laughed, had fun about it, you know, and praying in the Holy Ghost and rebuking devils and running squirrels away from trying to get our balls from us and all that kind of stuff, and fish were eating our balls. We went more in the water than we did in the land. You know what I mean? Fish trying to take our golf balls from us and all that kind of stuff. But we'd be out there, and I just started to say, and I said, one day, I said, I know what I'm going to do, Pat Sonny. I said, I'm going to drive the ball straight down the fairway, and I'm going to have one putt on the green. He said, you think so? I said, I know so. So every time I said, I'm driving down the fairway, and I just kept saying it. I kept saying it. I'd hit it in the woods. I'd hit it over here. I'd try to kill 2 or 3 squirrels, you know, not on purpose, you know, out through the trees and the bushes, and they'd be go looking for my ball. And Sonny would finally say, just drop it down. I like playing with Pastor Sonny, because if he kept score, I didn't lose. I can tell you that right now. He made sure I win. I thought winning golf was having the most points, but I found out that's not how it works. You're supposed to have the least points, you know what I mean? But I'd just keep saying it. I'm going to drive it straight down the fairway, one putt on the green. By the time we got on over there to about number 14, I was driving that thing straight down the fairway, and I hit that green one putt. Woo! Pastor Sonny, that stuff worked. Brother Randy, you getting good. I said, I'm good because I say I'm good. My God. I'm believing God. So I'm not telling you not to stretch yourself. I'm not telling you not to go for things. I'm not trying to tell you not to be an achiever. I'm not telling you not to apply yourself, but just keep it in a godly perspective, and God will get a hold of you, and he'll pick you up and take you to places you could never go by yourself. Amen. Don't look to men, look to God, and he is going to put you over every single time, and Satan under your feet, you will trod. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Ghost and the power and the anointing of God. And we thank you that's been released during this series of meetings through each one of the speakers, Father, and also the impartation of everybody that's here. And we thank you for your anointing that is upon us even tonight. Now, if you're here tonight and you've got to want to be prayed for healing,